Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am very good. Good morning, Jeff. Nice to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. It's also awesome to have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Pretty good.
Awesome. That is exactly as it should be. And that's probably saying a lot because it is a Monday. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Harry's, the razor company, which is really cool. I'll talk about them soon. But first, I wanted to kind of dive into something you wrote at the end of the week, Brian. You took a look at the new webpage that Apple has to promote the iPhone, and you came away with a pretty interesting perspective on that.
Well, thank you. So Apple posted a site called Why There's Nothing Quite Like an iPhone. And what they do is they basically break down the things that make an iPhone special. Of course, you know, every company might try to do something similar to make the case for why their product is special. But there was something about the way Apple did this that, first of all, made it sound like they were tapping why I thought the iPhone was special. But it's the way they did it that just kind of just blew me away, because they use plain language. They put everything in the context of, again, what we the users might think, and they just, marketing is so often it's games with words. There's a concept, like for a commercial, there's the establishing point, right?
Mm-hmm.
The very first line out of the narrator's mouth for a lot of commercials is intended to establish to that this commercial is aimed at me. And you know, there's all this gamesmanship in most marketing and most advertising, and this was not that. This was plain language. They just completely reset the bar for what plain language can be used to say for a company's marketing message.
You know, Brian, what I thought was cool was I got the feeling like they were bringing their light out from under the bushel. There's so many things that are sort of unwritten that Apple has brought out to light and exposed.
There's that too.
Secure Enclave. When's the last time Apple advertised and talked about the Secure Enclave?
Well, and then that they did it in a way that actually makes sense.
Right.
And it was easy to digest, easy to understand, put into context. You know, they're not speaking down to us. They're just making it accessible and interesting. It's fascinating to me.
You know, when I checked out the page, my impression was that, and I know this is not how it played out, but, or at least I assume it isn't, but the way it felt like it played out was the marketing people all got together and they're like, okay, so here's the key selling points and here's the important things that we need to remind people of. And while they're working on that, everyone else is like just pushing it off to the side and ignoring what they're doing, and said, okay, what is it that really makes this cool for us? What is it that's really important? And they just had a conversation, recorded the conversation, transcribed it, and put it on the website. So yeah, plain talk.
Yeah, it's...
I know it's a lot more than that.
That's at all what happened.
But, oh, I know that's not what happened, but that's how my brain put it together. And that was the feeling that I got out of what they presented.
You know, I also think that that kind of talks to the idea about why a lot of people like their iPhone, but they don't know quite why they like it. It's sort of a feeling that they have. And I think Apple kind of tapped into that too a little bit. Here's the things in plain language that are really, really special about it. And when you stop to think about it, you say, oh, yeah. But if you had been confronted with about a lot of technical talk before, you would have been dazed. But I think this is sort of addresses the idea of why people love their phone so much.
So can I read something from it?
Yes, please.
So this was about Touch ID and the secure enclave. Apple said, quote, a painstakingly engineered sensor that lets you unlock your phone with just your fingerprint. An iPhone keeps your print safe by never storing an image of it. Instead, it turns it into an intricate piece of math, which can't be turned back into an image, recreated, replicated, or otherwise fiddled with. And we built a place especially for that piece of math called the Secure Enclave. It's completely walled off from the rest of your phone, and it keeps your fingerprint encrypted and protected. We can't see it. They can't see it. Not even you can see it.
Awesome.
It's just beautiful. It's just, it's exactly what needs to be said, no less, no more.
The text flows in a sort of a dramatic, poignant, non-technical, like plain language right up front kind of thing.
And then skipping down to another page, every iPhone we've made, and we mean every single one, was built on the same belief that a phone should be more than a collection of features, that above all, a phone should be absolutely simple, beautiful, and magical to use. It should have hardware and software that was designed to work with each other and enhance each other by people who frequently see each other. That's how you make a phone that works ridiculously well. I mean, like, just the idea that you know, that whole serendipitous meeting thing that Steve Jobs was keen on, and that I have since learned since he talked about that with Walter Isaacson's for the biography on him with Walter Isaacson, and Walter Isaacson's The Innovators, he talks about how that was a big part of why Bell Labs was so was such a just this powerhouse of innovation in the 1950s. Is because all these people from different disciplines were all intermingling and you know, running into each other constantly throughout the day, and that was something Steve Jobs studied and recognized as important, and then set up Pixar to maximize that, and then also Apple Campus 2.0. has been designed to do all that stuff. But anyway, my point, I'm digressing a lot here, but my point is that Apple's never made a marketing case out of that. And they didn't need to explain the rabbit hole that I was starting to go down to make it an important message. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. I like how this is a very different message from Apple for the iPhone, yet at the same time is in a way very similar to the messages that they have given us before, because it's not really about specs. It's about emotion. And here we have this completely new way of doing the same thing, which is presenting the iPhone to us on an emotional level.
But there's two ways to think of the emotion. One is psychological manipulation through advertising to create unwarranted emotions. And then there's the proper joyful emotion felt from a finely crafted product. Two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in this case, I think Apple nailed the emotion without having to artificially create a sense for us.
Exactly. And I think that's very cool. Apple's one of the few companies that can do that. And when people see it, sometimes they mistake it as manipulation and have a bad attitude about Apple.
Well, as they say, haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, I think this is an awesome, insightful piece that you wrote.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so thank you for doing that. Hey, did I mention we have a sponsor today?
You did.
I think I did, yeah. That would be Harry's, the razor company. And I'm sure that at least some of you know that I've become a Harry's fan. I was skeptical when I first went to try their razor blades, and it's not because of their reputation, which is really good. It's because of the preconceived notion that I had from years of experience with crappy disposable blades that this was going to be a similar experience. Turns out I was wrong. And the shave that I get from my Harry's razor is on par with the safety razor that I'd been using for years. And that's saying a lot, because the quality of the blades that I was using were top-notch, and I was getting an excellent shave. And for Harry's to be able to step in with a disposable cartridge system that can match what I was getting and do it with a blade that doesn't wear out after just a couple shaves, that's really impressive. And that's what Harry's has been able to do for me. They gave me really good blades, really good handle, really good product at a crazy good price. So I was able to get the Truman starter kit. That's the one that I really like. And it's only $15. And then when you need replacement cartridges for that, super cheap, like substantially cheaper than anything you can pick up at the grocery store. And that's even comparing their blade prices to the crappy blades, not the really good ones, but the crappy blades for price. But the Harry's blades are just fantastic. I'm just so pleased. So I think that you should try out Harry's, because I've been really happy. So you should be happy too. We all deserve to be happy. Head over to their website, harrys.com, and go pick out your starter kit. Like I said, the Truman is the one that I fell in love with, and give it a shot. Even better, instead of having to pay $15, all you're going to have to pay is $10, because you have the discount code TDO for TMO Daily Observations, a special code they gave me to pass on to you. Use that, get $5 off that first order. All of your orders are going to ship with no shipping charges, which is a really nice little gesture on their part. And you're going to have just an absolutely awesome shaving experience. If I'm happy with it, I can't imagine anyone else wouldn't be happy, because I really am that critical. So head to their website, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, buy the Truman kit, because that's the one that I like, and then we can be like shaving friends, like, not in a creepy way. Anyhow, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO. Thank you, Harry's, for being our sponsor. And thank you, Brian, for managing to keep it together as I took the commercial into a slightly creepy place. Mm-hmm. But it just wouldn't be me if I didn't. Anyhow, turns out that Apple Watch is going to be moving beyond just Apple's own stores and the small handful of like high-end retailers where there's been limited quantities. And Apple Watch is going to be in Best Buy. As of August 7th, it will be available in 100 of their locations. And in time for the holiday buying season, it will be available in 200 more. So 300 locations across the United States. This is going to open up Apple Watch to a potentially larger buying audience, because Best Buys are in a lot of places that Apple stores aren't. And there's a lot of people that really want to try something on before they buy it, especially when it comes to something as personal as a watch. And when you're paying at least $350 for that watch, I can understand why you'd want to try it on first. So I'm curious what you guys think about Apple moving into Best Buy.
Well, duh.
Well, there you go.
Next conversation.
Yeah. Actually, if we wanted to, we probably could end it right there. But I'm betting John has something to say, too.
Yeah, my first reaction to that was that it puts into perspective the timeline of the Apple Watch. When it first came out, we know Apple had some production problems. They had to limit it to mail order. You couldn't walk into a store and buy it. There weren't long lines, and everybody got all uptight about that, and everything wasn't perfect, and they couldn't buy a watch as soon as they wanted one. And people started analyzing the sales and said, oh my God, Apple didn't sell 5 million the first weekend, and it's never going to be as big as the iPhone, and on and on and on. But this Best Buy article sort of punctuates the long-term aspects of the Apple Watch. Talk to me in 2 years about how many Apple has sold. Talk to me in 2 years about the availability and the popularity of the watch. You know, Apple's a very wealthy and capable engineering company, but there's only so much Apple can do to provide they'll watch everybody who wants one. And it's amazingly complex and technical, and it's a new device. And so you would expect there'd be some bumps during the rollout, but everybody got upset about how Apple couldn't do it perfectly, immediately, right away, and sell a lot of them. But this is the long game here. And Best Buy on August 7th selling the Apple Watch is just the first, you know, pawn to King's
Rook 12.
Four. Yeah.
I'm just making stuff up.
You know, pawn to E4. It's just the first opening move. And I think it's great. And it reminds us where Apple's going in the long game for this device.
Now, I can see where some people would look at this and think, oh, man, this is going to totally devalue Apple Watch. And I can understand why they would say that, because they've probably been through the smartwatch section in Best Buy, which is, quite frankly, an embarrassment. And if you're one of Best Buy's display experts, I apologize, but it's time for an intervention, because those displays are embarrassingly bad. They're kind of tucked away. They're sitting there with smartphone accessories, and they're just plain ugly. What they have is this, like, it's like a clear acrylic bar with the watches kind of wrapped around them as if the bar was your wrist. And it just looks ugly. And I can see where people would look at that and think, yeah, this is not the place for an Apple Watch. And you're right. And this is why Apple has their store in a store section in Best Buy's. So I will be stunned if Apple Watch is displayed with the rest of the smartwatches. I think it's going to be over with the iMacs and iPads and iPhones in the store in a store section.
Yeah, and I'm going to completely dismiss the idea that this in some way devalues the Apple Watch and makes it less exclusive. I mean, from my initial reaction, duh. I mean, of course Apple is expanding the points of sale this thing is available to, and it's going to be expanding further still. And I don't know. I don't really actually think there's a lot to see here.
We've seen Apple's sales strategy all through the years as they expand the points of sale, as you said, Brian. And the more points of sale they have, guess what? The more products they sell.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably only going to be the Apple Watch Sport.
Sport and stainless.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, they're nice to be wrong. Clearly, by the way, I didn't read your article yet. And it's probably, there probably aren't going to be a lot of choices for bands. It's going to be a different experience than buying one in the Apple store for sure, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're right. There probably won't be a lot of Apple bands, but you can walk into a Best Buy today and pick up third-party Apple Watch bands.
Sure.
And the little Apple Watch protective covers that some companies are making. Those have been available for a little while now. So even though you may not have as broad a selection of Apple's own bands, I think you're still going to have a nice selection of Apple Watch accessories.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, I'm with you, Brian. I don't think that this is a huge thing, other than the fact that this is Apple getting production ramped up enough where they can start selling through other retailers and expand their potential customer base.
I do have one question, though.
Okay.
Why wouldn't Apple select, if now that production is ramping up and they can go to any retailer they want to, why wouldn't they go to Macy's or Nordstrom's or Saks or other places that sell luxury watches?
That may be coming.
I can see. Yeah, Brian, I think you're right. I think that is coming. But if you want to maximize the visibility to potential consumers, you're not going to put the Apple Watch into Macy's first. You're going to put it where everyone's already going for their electronics, and they're going over to Best Buy. So put it there where people are expecting to see devices like this, and they already know that they can find Apple products, especially if they're good in an point. Area that doesn't have an Apple store.
Exactly. Good point. Good point. Bingo.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're about out of time. So thanks, Brian, for being here today.
Yep.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure.
It's always great to have both of you on with me. And then Harry's, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself that trim and kit to start having a better shave right away. And listeners, thank you so much for being here this week. We'll see you again tomorrow.